Good evening and welcome to the third Discord podcast. I am one of your hosts, Graham, and I'm joined tonight by Bernardo. Are you there, Bernardo?
I am here. Welcome, everyone. We have an amazing show, the third show, so I hope you enjoy.
As always, you can join in live by audio. Just make a mention in the chat or offer to join the stage. And secondly, if you want to contribute by the chat while you're listening, please feel free to jump in on the chat. And obviously, what you send in, we will read out. So it's been another interesting time in the Disney World right now, Bernardo. We've certainly had some news from Walt Disney World, where Ron DeSantis is currently at war with Disney, and speculation over whether or not they're pulling funding or they're increasing funding in those parks. And then secondly, we've had Disneyland Paris that's got trouble off its own. It's got some monumental strikes on just now, where parades and night shows and part of the attractions have been cancelled over the last couple of days. So, I don't know, do you want to lead us into it?
Yeah, sure. Let's start with Paris. Let's go over the strikes. I think it's a very important topic.
Yeah, let's start there.
So, yeah, sure. So, pretty much, I think we should start by going over the conditions that they are fighting for. So, pretty much, the most basic one is they want a 200 euro raise for all cast members. And then they want a higher pay for Sunday shifts, additional help with transportation costs. You know, Paris is quite far away, like almost an hour, depending on how the transit is. And I think there are also complaints about the flexible hours scheme, because the park pretty much, it can change working hours to fit staffing needs at a very short notice. So this is another problem that I think they want to try and fix.
Well, let's start with the easiest one there. We've got that obvious. We've got that we've just said on the need to short-term fix staffing. I mean, that shouldn't be a problem in Disneyland Paris, because we've got that ridiculous reservation system that keeps us all locked out and stops us all bouncing in. So, I mean, in theory, Disneyland Paris should never be that shocked by the staffing level. So it seems like they're... you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be that difficult for Disneyland Paris to manage that. And then I think the second point, for them all to increase their general take-home pay, I think that, you know, across Europe, we've seen a massive increase in the cost of living. And I think it's probably only right that Disneyland Paris cast and crew are included in a general increase. I think there has to be a general increase. The cost of living has gone up remarkably.
Yeah, for sure. And another main problem, I think, is actually within Disney. You know, several higher-ups and executives, they've been saying for a while now that Disneyland Paris has been making record profits, everything's working very well, cast members are doing an amazing job, but they get nothing from that, you know? So they're basically hearing that they're doing great, but they won't get anything additional from that. So that can raise frustration, I think.
I think it's raised quite a bit of frustration. I think I was reading as well, there's a bit of frustration because they can get so many temporary staff and certainly seasonal staff, that they've been having trouble for the permanent kind of staff being able to, you know, it's hard for them to negotiate, because it's effectively there's a never-ending set of people that will come in and possibly take below what the market would normally set the wage at, because they're consistently available and there's a huge amount of people that are willing to do that. So because of that, I think they've been struggling to kind of negotiate their position upward.
Yeah, that's a really good point as well. But then there's the other side of the thing. So I just want to say I completely support cast members, but at the end of the day, when you see all those videos and stuff from the parks, it's just impossible to not think about the families and the guests that are there, which at the end of the day, they're the ones that actually pay the price.
Yeah, so this is one of the big things, isn't it? That You know,
That's true.
you've got some people who, Disneyland Paris is a kind of 2 or 3 day trip for the majority of people. It's, 2 days in the parks, maybe three. That is the majority of the stays at Disneyland Paris. There's certainly people that do longer, but it doesn't always feel like such a thing blocking, the parade or blocking the night show for one night. But you've got to remember there are people here. And again, full support to the Disneyland Paris cast, but there are people here who, perhaps they're getting engaged, perhaps they've got a special moment, perhaps they're celebrating something, perhaps on their honeymoon, perhaps they're celebrating their wedding, perhaps they're celebrating a kid's birthday. And, for a lot of different people, a lot of different things matter at Disneyland Paris. Some people are disappointed by certain rides being offline. Some people are disappointed by certain restaurants not being available. But there are people who are very disappointed if they can't get, a lot of people Dream and Shine Bright are ready for the ride, or a lot of people go for that if it gets cancelled. It's quite sad for them. If the parade gets cancelled, that's a big part of the Disney day. And more spectacularly, if they cancelled the sort of night show that people have stood
Yeah,
for,
Disney
you
dreams.
know, yeah, they've been waiting an hour for Dreams, and they've been standing there, and they've got their spot, they're ready to film it, they're going home tomorrow. That really,
It's
that
rough.
creates, it is rough. I mean,
Yeah.
but, the
But I mean,
in the
looking at the cast member's side, what else can they do? So it's really a hard question to answer because on one side you've got the families are paid or worked hard to get there, and on the other side you've got the cast members that work there every day and are not compensated as they should.
Yeah.
So
I
really
think though
hard.
this is it, there's a bit of difference though. It's one thing to not show up to work. It is one thing to not turn up to your place of work and force them. Like the fundamental of a strike is that you withdraw your labor. So the point is that you withdraw your labor, and therefore the operation suffers, and the business should recognize the worth of your labor and compensate it properly. That is the purpose of a strike. That's evolved. That's evolved somewhat, and it started off with kind of picket lines, and people say, "Do not cross this line." Now, I think having a picket line at Disneyland Paris is probably not going to be too successful because people have paid to go on holiday to there, and I don't. It's not quite the same as picketing other workers not to go to work. And then you're kind of in the park, and the entertainment's part of the offering. Like, it's what people have bought into. So I kind of feel that you've got the opportunity for Disneyland Paris to just withdraw their labor, and that flips it back on the actual company. It flips it back on the management, and it says to them that they have to come up with a way to explain that. So guests will notice there's, markedly longer attraction lines, that the park is much dirtier than usual, and there's lots of trash floating about. None of the bins have been emptied. It maybe put the restaurant queues to some long level. And that starts to hurt the park. And it's harder for Disneyland Paris to kind of apportion blame because it all happens kind of in the background. So they would struggle in many ways to blame the cast, because at that point it feels like more a management thing. Whereas I think Disney get a little bit of sympathy out of some people, because once you've got cast members going around blowing whistles and chanting, and there's a good element of society that will back that sort of behavior, but there's another element of society that think it's ruining their vacation. And if the strikes go on for a long time, there is the fear, and probably the thing that will come out of it is that people won't go to Disneyland Paris, because they'll see that as possible interruption to their holiday. So I think there's a long-term sort of element there that you've got to be careful of. However, that's all on the Disneyland Paris management. That's all on them. They have to look at that and think, how much does this damage the future of our company? How much does this damage the future of all this? And then hopefully it brings them to the table a bit faster.
Yeah, I agree. I do think one last thing, it is that the French have a very different culture when it comes to protesting and
Oh, they do.
strikes. It's something that's, embedded in their constitution. It's a constitutional right. So I think they pretty much see things differently.
They do.
But yeah, I agree. I do think that I saw something about why that wouldn't fully work. And it had something to do that Disney was using temporary workers, cast members, to fill in those positions that the other workers weren't, filling in. So, which I also believe it's something illegal in France. So when someone's striking, you can't put another person or a temporary employee doing that job,
Yeah,
which
I
then
wonder
leads
if
to
it
this.
ca I wonder if it counts though if the cast are already employed and kind of already trained on that job. Technically, it's their job too, if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
I'm not sure how that works. I'm not sure how that
Yeah.
works. But that it does lead us to another topic, which was, did you see the security inside the parks during
Yeah,
the
I did.
protests?
I did.
Yeah, and DLP reports they were taking photos and they were approached by security saying they couldn't do that. Like, what is going on? You can't take photos inside a theme park now? That's
Yeah,
really strange.
that was wild. That was
That's
wild.
on Disney. That's 100% on Disney.
Yeah, that's I mean, but you're gonna get that. I mean, the minute you replace your own security cast with an external company who are coming in and kind of making it up on the spot, you're gonna get that. I mean, that doesn't seem that shocking. I think the output is wrong. And I don't think they should have ever been questioned. But the truth is, the minute you bring in an external security company, they have no idea what's happening. They're not there day to day. They don't have access to the tools, the resources, the training, anything like that. You're going to have
Yeah, it's
incidents like
possible.
that. At the same time, Disneyland Paris simply, as a tourist destination, cannot operate without security. It has to operate without security.
Of
And
course, but that security that wasn't normal, they were pretty much there for the protests. They were following the protesters, the
Yeah,
cast
but they,
members. So that seemed like an extra level of protection.
you've got the problem though, and it comes back to the French and their penchants for protest, is that occasionally the French like setting fire to things. So,
Yeah, that's true.
the center of Paris has been burnt out a good few times. And
Yeah, just the past few months,
you
it's
can go
been
on
hard.
Twitter. If you go to Twitter and go to Urban Pictures, you'll see a very good journalist that does a lot of photojournalism, a lot of video journalism there. I mean, they're good at a protest, they're effective at a protest, I'll give them that. But the problem is sometimes they burn things down. So, I mean, Disneyland Paris, I'm not suggesting anyway, by the way, I'm not suggesting anyway anybody should set anything on fire, and I don't think the Disneyland Paris cast ever would. But
Yeah, of course.
there are actors. There are bad actors that will take advantage of any protest to come in and set fires. I mean, there's people in the UK that wait for any known protest, for any known thing to go and help set off fireworks. And
Some people just want to see the
yeah,
world burn.
yes, exactly. So I get why they need extra security. I get why they need to flood it full of security. It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, it looks terrible for the guests. And to be honest, I think having all that security and, DLP report won't have been the only person questioned. I imagine several of the guests have been questioned at which point, again, Disneyland Paris are running a negative brand thing there. So, yeah, it's difficult. The only thing, I mean, I've seen that Sunday one. That's the only one I kind of disagree with. And I feel as though I just want to bring it up so that we do some sort of semblance, because I think we're all fully in support of the cast. The Sunday demand feels a bit off, and that it's a bit off because historically France is not, historically the French Revolution and such has been so, and they've cast off their kind of religious undertones. The sacrilege of a Sunday is a very religious thing. And there's a little bit of problem. Companies that generally pay higher wages on a Sunday run reduced hours or run with reduced staffing, and you get that horrible Sunday effect. And you'll know what I mean, because you'll have a supermarket near you, or you'll have a restaurant near you
Oh
that
yeah, for
clearly
sure.
pay,
Yeah,
and
working
you
hours are much smaller.
yeah, and a Sunday's just like known as the dreadful day. Like, you just end up with a really poorly performing, terrible day. And it's not that I don't think the cast should be paid more. I think they should be paid more, but in general. the Sunday bonus generally just leads to, and this isn't Disneyland Paris specific, this is to everybody who kind of does Sunday additional labor cost. You end up with a worse product. And that initially is bad for the guest, but secondly, it's dreadful if you work it too, because if you've ever worked in a job where you know they cut the labor on a Sunday or they cut the workforce on a Sunday and make up, you know, some of the money they're losing and paying out more, you know fine well that you're going to have a terrible shift.
Yeah,
So there's a
that's a
bit
good
of me
point.
that's kind of, like, do you really want to introduce a Sunday as a dreadful day at Disneyland Paris? Because that is what you're going to get. Like, that's the route. It'll be terrible for cast, it'll be terrible for guests. So it's the only one that I kind of raise a small eyebrow at. I'm kind of like,
Yeah. So you
like,
pretty
I'm
much
so
said
sure.
it should be raised the salary for
Yes,
everyone
in
staying
general
there,
they should
not
raise it. And the other thing is, you could do it other ways. You could have, unsociable hours like top ups, or you could have, peak season top ups, because it's probably a lot worse to work in Disneyland Paris. You know,
Oh,
once
yeah,
you
for
get to
sure.
kind of July 25th through till about August 15th, must be absolutely brutal. So, I mean, pay more then or something, when it's absolute peak and the resort's bringing in lots of money. But I mean, if you're Disneyland Paris and you're looking at, Sunday the 7th of January, where you're paying your cast members even more to work on a Sunday, and this park's already only open till 7 p.m. or 6 p.m., you're just gonna I hate to think what that January Sunday looks like. If they cut it back, like, all food will be in one restaurant, all, there'll be 10 attractions closed, there'll be,
Videopolis opened, everything
you know,
else
the,
is closed.
yeah, exactly. The parade is Mickey Mouse on a bike, it's just, I get it. I really do get, I really do, I get people want more on a Sunday, but can you imagine being the cast member that's got to, staff Videopolis while you're the only thing open? It doesn't. So,
That's a good point.
I do worry. It sounds good, but that's the one that I'd caution, and I'd be like, maybe not. Maybe fight for even. If you're going for, €200, why not go for €220 instead, but drop the Sunday thing. The other thing is, Disney's an American company, and they're not. I mean, so I mean, it's one. It's not the first time we've had strikes in Disneyland Paris. We've certainly had strikes in Disneyland Paris before. We've had them in 2000. We've had them in 2009, we've had them in 2000 something, and they've done things before. They've covered the resort in toilet paper, they've protested at the main gates,
Yeah, I remember
they've
that.
yeah, so we've had it before. It's not that there isn't precedent for this. This is probably the biggest one, I'd reckon.
Yeah,
In
I mean
America,
it's over 10% of their workforce. That's not a small number. It's
yeah.
like 1,500 cast members. That's a lot.
It is a
That's a lot
lot.
of people.
Conversely, it's
That's
an
quite.
awful lot that didn't join in, which I was quite surprised at.
Yeah, I do think that a large part is temporary though.
Yeah, I think
So
I'm the.
I do think that makes up for a big part.
The other thing is, we have to look at the American parallel. So why is Disneyland in California not on strike? Why is Disney World not on strike? And occasionally they almost threaten to, and occasionally I think they maybe have in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, last year they had strikes, which led to a complete raise on everyone. Every single cast member is getting a raise this year. So it was from f I think it was $15 an hour, and they're raising the entry level. I'm not sure about the
Yeah,
actual
I'm not sure
numbers,
the
but they're
specifics. Yeah, we
raising
probably.
the cast member salary there. And I do think
Plus,
that it was
they
a
have
strike that did
competition.
it. Yeah, exactly.
So they certainly have a lot more competition. Which obviously is quite good, because you've got Epic Universe bearing down them. And Universal have stated that they're going to do 10,000 extra positions. And when you're up against that, I suppose you have to be a lot more nimble with your move. But that maybe brings us on to a better point. Maybe Disneyland Paris just needs some competition, because the truth is, competition usually pushes up wages.
Yeah, for sure.
So it'd be
There's
interesting, you know,
no question asked.
if the shops in Val d'Europe or the shops in the Disney Village, I suppose it's probably a bad comparison, but if the shops in Val d'Europe and such paid more, and the hotels and stuff surrounding them paid more, Disney would have to compete.
Yeah, it's true.
Because they already have
But
to compete on.
on the other
Sorry.
hand, they're much smaller businesses. I'm not sure if they have, the capacity to do so. But Disney as a huge brand, I do think they could do it better than those smaller hotels or shops.
Yeah, so I mean, they could do with some real competition. They could really do with, you know, something massive.
Universal theme park in the middle of Europe doesn't sound too bad.
It doesn't. I like that. Well, they already have one, though, don't they?
They do?
Well, Universal's Mediterranea is probably going to be
Well,
their bet. Yeah.
Universal is coming back, but
It's going
yeah,
to be cheaper than
that's
building the. It's going to be cheaper
yeah,
than
for
building a
sure.
Disney.
Well, I mean, we can go in there if you want. I have a lot of topics I would gladly discuss.
I'm surprised that Merlin or like Legoland or something hasn't made not made an effort. Because I would think these are large companies. Maybe they just don't have the capital to spend on it just now.
Yeah, I mean, around Paris you have the Parc Astérix. I think that's the only one, like major theme park around Paris.
Yeah.
Which is like an hour away, I think, from Disneyland. So you don't have that competition you have in Orlando, of course. There's nothing is that competitive as Orlando with SeaWorld, Disney World, Universal, all of those. So I think it's a completely different conversation. You can't really
Yeah.
compare Disney World with Disneyland Paris when it comes to staffing problems, etc.
Yeah. So we've got that sort of situation. So I guess the next thing is there was a pause for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we're going back into next week, and it's gonna be Tuesday or something that I think the next strike is planned for. So it's whether or not Disneyland Paris just now is Natasha Rafalski has held a video, and I think they're gonna hold a cast talking session with the head of HR and such. So there's stuff to happen. There are things moving in the background. Like I don't think it's as stale as perhaps we're made led to believe. Like Disneyland Paris will be considering this and will be considering what offer they can put in there and what is right and what's wrong and what's working, what's not
Yeah,
working. So there's a lot
that's
in there.
true. Did you see the video Natasha Rafalski did?
I didn't not in full, no.
So pretty much what I understood from my French, which isn't very good. Pretty much she said that the negotiations won't start until August. What she said, and also that the company has made an effort these last few years to better accommodate the cast members with the backstage improvements, etc., etc. So, when you're on strike and when you're protesting and you hear that, she's basically saying, "We won't talk with you. We won't sit on a table for, another 2 months, and we believe we've done a lot these last few years." So I completely understand why they got, angrier. And on the next day, they blocked Disney Dreams. It was the next day from that video. So, in a management situation, that wasn't very well thought of, I think.
Well, they certainly thought it was going to work. I mean, they wouldn't have done it if they didn't think it was going to work. So it was definitely the first sort of move on the table. The question is whether or not, you know, a lot of people don't kind of realize that companies don't run day to day. So the senior leadership team in Disneyland Paris aren't really focused on today, tomorrow, the next day, even next week. They're focused on the next season. They're focused on the next, you know, quarter. They're focused on the next year. And they have to plan in advance so that everything comes together at the right time. So the truth is that they've probably penciled this in, and it's rare that companies like to do large-scale changes in React mode without, you know, for something like this, it needs to go through several departments, it needs to go through a lot of financial planning, it needs to get reconciled against budgets and revenues and planned investment. There's a lot to it, and there's a lot of work in it. Like, just to say, yeah, oh, let's sure. pay all the cast more, it sounds simple, but it isn't a simple task. It is a lot of work.
On the other side, I mean, they could just agree to sit at the table and start negotiating. You know, even if it doesn't come into play after August, they could say, okay, we see what you're doing, and we will sit at a table with you. We'll start programming stuff for the future. But
your only problem with that, though, is the minute you do that, as I understand it, it's the frontline cast and the custodial staff that are on strike just now. You're just going to incentivize all the other unions to join in, because once you then commit to this has worked, jump in. you effectively just create your own cavalcade I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing for the cast and certainly the management of Disneyland Paris, but it's certainly something that if I was sitting in Disneyland Paris, you've got to be very careful that, you know, if we open the door today, what comes through it tomorrow? So strike theory and the whole, you know, is it always meet all the demands? Because then you incentivize a total strike. If you make it works, what stops them having a strike in, you know, 6 months, 12 months time? So all these things are running through Disneyland Paris's head at this moment in time. And the truth is the budget for this quarter is already spent. It's probably overspent, because budgets typically are always over expended. So they've got to look at that. There is a bit, and you know, that could come in the form of, I mean, companies never willingly part with profit. They're not going to say, oh yeah, tell you what, we'll take the hit here, the slice of the pie is we'll take it. No, they need to go away and they need to model, if we're going to pay this whole increase, or we're going to model and pay a little bit more of an increase, they've got to go away and decide who's paying for that. Where are the guests paying for that? Do they cheapen the food offering? Do they cut something from the next season? It's not as simple, you know, for them. It should be as simple as we'll take a cut to our profit. But the truth is, there's no way they got Disneyland Paris finally profitable and then went, I tell you what, we'll give it away. Like, that just isn't going to happen. There's someone is paying for that. The annual passes might go up a fair bit more.
Yeah. Not good news for annual passes. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think.
I mean,
let's move on to annual passes, actually. Yeah. Unless you have anything else you want to jump in there.
That's perfect.
So we've started to hear a little bit more about annual passes, and the general rumor is more expensive, less benefits, and from what I've heard, less tiers. So we're going from 4 tiers to 3 tiers.
Oh, is that right? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, so it looks like we're simplifying it a little bit to 3 tiers.
Okay.
So from what I kind of understand, and again, take it as a speculation that it is, there will be an affordable annual pass for the locals, in the sense of it does the Monday to Thursday and some Fridays.
So we're looking at what Disneyland and Disney World does for okay.
So you're getting midweek often, which isn't bad, because Disneyland Paris doesn't put anything on extra at the weekend that it doesn't have during the week.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, this isn't like Disneyland in California, where there's a marked difference to the weekend. Mm-hmm. Entertainment. So the midweek, let's call it the Monday to Thursday with the occasional Friday pass, is looking like the cheap option. And I'm told that won't be a massive increase from what the lowest level, what is it, the Discovery or something is for Disneyland Paris just now.
Discovery, so, it's quite cheap, actually.
Yeah.
So it's €229.
Yeah. So I'm told not a huge jump off that. So I'd expect that.
Okay.
I'm spitballing. I've heard no figures, but I'd imagine €250 for this pass. I'd imagine something really cheap. And that's how they're going to kind of tie it in. Like, this is a cheat pass. Like, you can still do this. But I think the benefits are massively reduced. Like, don't expect dining discount. Don't expect... I'm sure there will be a small shop discount, but it'll be, you know, a euro off or something. It'll not be your usual 20%. That seems to be the case. Then the mid-tier, as I understand it, is the, you know, Monday to Thursday plus Fridays, but minus some peak weeks. And those peak weeks, that, as I understand it, are seen as your Halloweens, your Christmases, your end of July, start of August.
And those that sort would of... be like how many days in a year?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say it's... Let's spitball and say it's about 30 days that are blocked out or something.
You know, Magic Plus, the second best, currently has 15 days that they can't visit.
Yeah, I think it'll be a wee bit more than that. But I think it's going to be similar. But remember, they've cancelled Halloween. Like, the Halloween party has been cancelled. So the truth is, the Halloween week should not be, in my mind, shouldn't be as busy as it commonly is. Like, Disneyland Paris created that problem themselves by only offering one Halloween party. If they offered 10 Halloween parties, it would still be busy Halloween time, but it wouldn't be the mad scramble that it is just now to be there in the final week of October. So they created that one. True. They could have fixed it. I'm still slightly shocked that the Halloween party's gone. Still find that bizarre. But it is. And then finally, that one I'm told is costs a lot more than it usually did. So I don't know what is Magic Plus just now. What was Magic Plus? Is it like
it's 370.
370. So so I mean that's definitely going to go up. And then the final one is your no block out ever, like no blockouts.
The new Infinity.
Yeah, as I understand it, it is very much like access any day. I don't know how this is going to work with the whole, you know, I don't know if, like, let's call it the new tier one, that's the cheap one. Mm-hmm. The new tier one is probably still going to have reservations. I think the tier two is still going to have reservations. So let's say tier one has, I don't know, what did you get just now? 3 days. Tier two is going to have maybe 5 days that you can book. But as I understand it, tier three has no reservation on it. It's just unlimited, or the limit is so high that it doesn't matter. Like, it's like 20 or something. So you can, you know, it doesn't really matter about reservations because you have that many. But it's going to be extortionate, and the sort of prices I've been kind of told to expect, and I think this is like sticker shock prices around the 1,000 euro mark. Like, if you want in peak, you are going to pay peak.
You know, so
that's almost double.
DLP Report made an article, like, I think it's 2 years ago now, talking about the new annual passes. And a lot of the stuff you said just now it's on that new annual pass rumor article. But the best annual pass, they call it an ultra premium offer. So this is rumors from 2 years ago, okay? So it's quite likely not what's going to happen. But this VIP Premium Ultra offer, it would have a lot of stuff from Premier Access, VIP sitting, from shows, soft opening invitations, exclusive events, Disney conferences.
That sounds a lot of stuff. It sounds out with the three that I've heard then. So it's possible there is a fourth tier, but it's maybe not marketed as an annual pass, but more like a...
In terms of prices, he says that it's well above $1,000, 1,000 euros. So
that maybe... sounds like almost like they've created a Disney Life subscription.
Yeah, that's right. And also they talk about the most cheap possible idea, which was... a benefits card, which would not include any tickets, but would allow the holder to get a large number of discounts when they visit the parks, like Costco. So
I think that's bizarre. That just sounds too much like a credit card, to be honest. I think we're going to see the end of the privilege tickets.
Oof, I quite like the privilege tickets.
I like the privilege tickets too, but I don't see how they survive.
Yeah.
Like, the other thing is you can kind of already get similarly priced dated tickets through attraction tickets. So, you know, it's only about a euro more, so it's not the end of the world, I suppose. And the
Yeah.
other thing about attraction tickets is you can actually book them online and go and pick them up, which doesn't let not pick them up, sorry, go in with a mobile ticket or go in with a barcode, which Disneyland Paris themselves have not been able to do. So the fact that we've not seen any modernization on privilege tickets suggests that privilege tickets are about to get shot from the cannon into
Yeah.
nothing. The other thing, Chapek was talking about this before he was bumped, but I can't imagine Disney have stopped it. The sort of linking of Disney parks to Disney Plus and the Disney Studios and things like that. I'm not convinced we're not going to see a program where Disney Plus isn't linked to your annual pass. I think we're going to see some sort of Disney Plus mingled with the annual pass, mingled with Shop Disney, mingled with, you know, Disney
Yeah,
experiences. I don't know.
that's possible. Now when you book a Disneyland Paris vacation, you get like 3 months or a year of free Disney Plus. And also
So.
in the American parks, if you have Disney Plus, you could get an exclusive discount for rooms
So
on
they,
property.
yes,
So
I
yeah,
think
it's very
I think this
likely.
is all going to link. I think if you take the price of Disney plus an annual pass, I mean, if they're thinking holistically, your annual pass will possibly work at the Disney, you know, the two resorts in America and Disneyland Paris. That gets you the English, that gets you the English and sort of European markets. And then I think you're going to see, like, there's a good number of people that go to Disney, Walt Disney World, a good number of people that don't go to Disneyland Paris. So you've got a good number of Europeans that still prefer to go to Disney World. And Disney would
Yeah,
really
for
like
sure.
those
Most
European.
mostly English, right?
Yeah. Mostly English, but I mean there's a good number of people that I don't know. There's a whole thing that I think Disney expected a lot more guests to travel to Disneyland Paris from the European countries that consistently keep going to Walt Disney World. And I think in Disney's ideal world, they could reduce that number. And in some ways, the weaken the strength of the dollar versus the euro and the pound just now means that people are considering staying more local. So I think you're enough. I think if they could market it. The other thing is, if you've got a ticket that works at Disney World, that works at Disneyland Paris, and works for Disney Plus, and maybe you get a couple of Disney movies, like the Disney Pixar movies, could come on Premier Access on Disney Plus sooner than they're released to the general Disney Plus community. You know, it might be something like that. And then you get, I don't know, 20% on Shop Disney. I think you're going to suddenly see a situation where I think you're suddenly going to see a situation where Disney are going to get a lot more money in, and for the people who buy that pass, you're probably going to get higher spenders who would be going to Walt Disney World anyway. But since Disneyland Paris is now included, they'll track back to Disneyland Paris. I mean, longer
That's an
term,
interesting idea.
I think longer term, Disneyland Paris are going to go. There's going to be a DVC site for Disneyland Paris shortly. I mean, I can't
Yeah, we
imagine.
need a DVC hotel or tower or whatever in Paris. It's ridiculous.
So that's going to
It's really
happen
ridiculous.
without fail. I mean, they might start off, you know, one of the Sequoia lodges, one of the three lodges might be the start of DVC there or something. I don't know. They're going to do that, and then secondly, the Disney dining plan. Because now, if you try and book a package holiday on Disneyland Paris, their website, they push dining a lot harder. So I think they're taking what wins in America, and the dining plan wins them a lot of money. It's just come back in America. I think we're going to see an awful lot of push on food as well. So food, hotels, there's going to be a push on tickets. The other thing is there's a whole community of hotels that have built up around Disneyland Paris that are a lot cheaper, and they exist on the basis that a lot of people have got annual passes. I think that
Yeah,
those
if you
hotels.
start to take the annual passes away by them being, a lot more expensive, I guess those hotels could suffer a bit from that, yeah.
So I think those hotels are going to suffer, which is going to, if you change the sum somewhat, you can divert annual pass holders to booking package holidays with Disney, which is ultimately what they want. They want everybody to be booked on a full stay, a full package stay. So there's a lot. I don't think it's going to be one of the easiest changes, but it's going to be a big change. I think demonstrably there's going to be a change to Disneyland Paris. And I think, as you say, ultra premium offerings happen to keep appearing, and that will be your priority access. It is going to be your, sitting at the middle or the start of shows. It's going to be dinner reservations available anytime. That sort of stuff. I almost don't blame Disney for doing it because it's an easy way to get some people to pay an awful lot more, and if that in some way keeps the cost down for everybody else, I don't really care. In some ways, I don't care.
I mean, I'm a pass holder, so I do care a bit because I don't want to pay a lot more money than I already
No, but I
do.
mean, you and I would be okay with not. I mean, do you really want to go at New Year? I mean, you did go at New Year, so maybe you're going to say yeah. But I
No,
mean,
I
I
didn't. I
try
didn't
and.
go. I didn't go in New Year's. I've
I
never
thought you
gone in
did.
New Year's. No, that was Panda, I think.
Well, it's not that I don't want to be there at New Year's, just I would never get the time off work. But I don't know, I can avoid the 6 busiest weeks of the year, and I think it probably gives me a better trip by not
Oh
being
yeah.
there the 6. I don't feel as though I've missed very much, because all I've missed
Yeah,
is the crack.
those 15 more days, it's a bit ridiculous. I would probably never use those 15 days because it's just, the parks are completely full. But what the main reason why I upgraded from Magic Plus to Infinity was pretty much just because of the Infinity viewing areas for the shows. The discounts help quite a lot,
The
and
privilege tickets are cheaper.
yeah, the privilege tickets are cheaper, so it's a lot of smaller things. So I don't know. It'll be an interesting future for annual passes. In terms of when, Ellie on Twitter, he said that it's very likely that we could see them arrive, or at least being announced, next month, July. So
That
it's not
doesn't
as far away as.
surprise me. Think about annual passes. Think about, we've now gone 2 or 3 months without them being sold, which means the numbers are starting to drop because people will be coming out of their annual pass. Like mine's expires in August or something. So what date did they stop selling them? It was like September, in fact, was it not? Oh, I'd need to go back and have a look, but it was last year, was it
I think
not?
it was March. No. I think it was
Or
like March.
was it this year? So, that only gives them a certain amount of time, and then they're going to have no annual pass revenue.
Yeah, that's true. And they need annual pass to survive the winter.
Well, they
So it'll
do.
be an
So, yeah.
interesting couple of months.
I do think, though, if you're an existing annual pass holder, I think you're probably going to get a little bit of discount to renew to the new one. Like,
Well, when
I
they
don't know.
changed from the last lineup, no one got a discount. It was a new product line, so they didn't give discounts to anyone. I'm not
No,
sure
they
if
didn't.
you
But
see
they
that.
also didn't. They didn't pause the program, though, did they? They just like it
Oh
just
yeah,
changed overnight.
I don't know.
It was from
That I don't know.
Francillion and such. It was just an overnight switch, and everybody was miserable about that too. So they'll be miserable about the next thing. I mean, nobody's gonna be happy, regardless of what they do. If they had just renamed the passes, it still would have upset everybody. So it doesn't surprise me terribly.
We're
The
unhappy
truth
to,
is,
or easy to please.
the truth is, we need to evaluate it on the basis of its value when it presents itself. And a lot of people will compare it against the value that was versus the value that it now is. So we will try and be fair and rate it against the value that it actually is versus the value that it's not. we'll try that. There was a lot of odd benefits in the old passes. Like some of them are a bit, you know, they came up with it, and I think they came up with it in a time when Disneyland Paris was struggling, and they've kind of held over.
Yeah,
You know,
I mean, annual passes they've existed for a long time.
the Euro Disney Club, the shareholders club, that was always quite funny because you could up to like two people, you could have two guests, and you could go in till 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock each morning. You could enter via Salon Mickey and get an orange juice or a water or a coffee and a free croissant.
Yeah.
And that was like it was such an odd benefit. It was such a it made no sense to anybody why this was, you know, you needed to staff it, you needed its own room, it needed a lot of administration, it needed all that. But again, when they were looking for money, they had to look for perks, and that was just a perk that they created. So,
Yeah. I mean, it
but
still
perhaps
exists today. The
still
shareholder club
does.
still exists.
I am
Yeah.
still a shareholder. Well, I'm not because
Oh, yeah, you're not, but you're a what's the name? Is it Euro Disney Club still?
I think yeah, it's like Euro Disney Club now, or the historical members of the Euro Disney Club, or some rubbish. It's
Okay.
very, but it's very hard to actually use any of those benefits today. And you get a really steep discount on your annual pass, so you get something like 15-20% off any annual pass with it.
Oh, wow.
However,
That's nice.
no, don't say that because it's useless. Because you can't order the annual pass online, you cannot order the annual pass on the phone. You have to physically turn up with your shareholder's card to get your annual pass, and then you would have to, but you can't make reservations until you've got it.
Oof. Yeah.
So, I mean, as much as it sounds like it's an amazing discount, it's like an amazing discount for an additional annual pass that you're maybe picking up for the future. But it's not very good for your, you know, if yours has run out and you need to renew it or buy a new one. So it is a good discount, it just is defeated
Doesn't
by the
work.
fact that you can't actually get
Yeah.
it. Yeah, that was my little anecdote on annual passes. So we're going to get some news there. We've seen some teaser pictures of Restaurant Rosalie, which is going to be the Chef Mickey change.
Yeah. Disney Village.
Or yeah, Disney Village, was it Cafe Mickey, Chef Mickey, something like that? I can't even remember the
Cafe
bloody
Mickey, yeah.
name.
Cafe
It's
Mickey.
been that, it's been that, it's been shut that long for via COVID and everything. I can't remember its name, but yeah, that's on its way. That there's some promising sort of early shots, so it looks a little bit better, and it's looking very different. It's the start of the overhaul of Disney Village. Excited to see that. And then secondly, we've seen some teaser artwork. It looks like the Sequoia Lodge is about to come up for refurb.
Yeah, that's right. We saw some photos of rooms that are used that are being used as a test room, I think, to try out the new furniture and the new colors and everything that's coming in. So, you have the Disneyland Hotel that's ending the huge refurbishment that they've been doing for the last what, like 2 years now, I think.
Yeah, forever.
So and yeah, it's been forever. And then it looks like Sequoia Lodge is the next one to get the huge construction walls once again. You've had Newport Bay Club, which was like I think it was 2016, which ended Bay Newport, and then New York. I think Sequoia is the one that needs it most now.
Well, Sequoia was
Isn't
done in 2013, so it's about 10 years old now.
The rooms are already so old. I was there last summer, and the rooms already felt old and used. And one of the things that really startled me was that there were like two outlets to charge your phones. In the whole room, two outlets,
Yeah.
and that's not something that can be acceptable in today.
The
When
good news
compared,
about Sequoia.
yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, the good news about Sequoia Lodge is it doesn't actually take that long to refurb compared to some of the others, because the Sequoia Lodge isn't one homogenous building. Like the Art of
Yeah.
Marvel, the Newport Bay, and the Disneyland Hotel, they are all one building. So it take it, it it takes a bit longer to
Yeah, I don't
refurb
think
them.
that they'll close the whole hotel. That would just
Yeah.
take away. I mean, it has 1,000 rooms, I think. It's
Yeah.
one of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So that has a lot of capacity. You can't just take away 1,000 rooms because the Disneyland Hotel, I think it doesn't reach 500 rooms, so it's half that. It's just so
So
much capacity. It's not gonna
the
happen.
last time they refurbed it, they refurbed the lodges first. And they refurbed the two split lodges, and then they offered it as a kind of upgrade room. So it was like the you paid more initially to go in there, which was really just the new base rate. And you went in there, and then they done the main hotel, and they didn't take too long with the main hotel actually.
Yeah, and I don't think that it will take too long now. The outside, I think it was refurbished like just a couple of years ago, the complete outside of the main building. So it's just the inside that needs to be completely done. Which should take away some time from the whole construction.
The good news, though, is the restaurant is so separate. Unlike the Disneyland Hotel at Newport Bay, where everything is so connected, the restaurant's off the Sequoia Lodge, or obviously downstairs at the back. So you can refurb them, and there's two almost identical looking restaurants. So you can refurb them one at a time. They only ever have one open at a time. You can refurb one at a time. You can let the lodges use whatever one's not under refurb easily enough. Then refurb the other one. Then just corner off the bottom floors. The restaurants are still available while you do the bar area and the shop and the sort of communal area of the first floor. And then effectively, it's not that hard to go and then just blitz the rest of the hotel. I mean, it's not going to happen this side of the year. I think that's probably going to be a January, February, March project if that's getting ready to gear up.
Possibly. I do think it won't start after Disneyland opens. That's for sure.
No, it won't start till that big
Now,
thing is
when
up.
does Disneyland open? That's another quite big question.
I'm actually surprised we've not seen a new hotel. I'm fairly convinced Disneyland Paris, they keep posting that they're at, record occupancy and they're well above the sort of 80-90% threshold. To me, that sounds like they need another hotel.
It's coming.
I
I
don't know.
think it's coming soon enough.
It is coming, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what else has happened in the Disneyverse while we've been sitting? Jack on DSNY newscast was talking about the fifth park to Walt Disney
Yeah.
World and the location of it, which he's got some fascinating and fantastic data to
A great video, by the
extrapolate.
way.
It is a
Amazing.
fantastic video. Amazing video.
Yeah,
I mean, your
it's quite
video.
interesting. His video.
I mean, your videos are really good, but that was a really good video too. So I'm giving a lot of credit to this one. The one thing I would say is that I'm convinced they will build a fifth park. Like I can't imagine Epic Universe is not a challenge. And it's my personal rumor that I keep spreading is I'm convinced that Universal are going to buy SeaWorld and have four theme parks in Orlando. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Just so they can fight with Disney. Absolutely convinced. Or
It's ability.
If they don't buy it, it'll be co-branded or something, or they'll do a deal so they can both sell tickets to it as part of a package. Like it makes so much sense to take on Disney in that space. SeaWorld just doesn't have the money to fight back by building a second park or anything, so that's not going to happen. Universal really, Epic Universe is going to hurt Disney, but I mean, if you really wanted to cause some trouble, you would absolutely then buy yourself a fourth park or co-brand it or co-ticket it or something because they're so close to each other as well. Like, that just cannot be coincidence either that the infrastructure could,
Yeah,
deal with
that's
both.
right, and especially with Epic Universe. It's just like I think it's like 5 minutes away from SeaWorld or less. So
And SeaWorld
it's
are basically like if you're a fish at SeaWorld just now, your time is numbered. Like they are kicking out the fish quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm convinced that's happening. I don't know why I felt I wanted to bring that up, but I like bringing that up.
But going back to the fifth park. One topic Jack talked about, which was very well explained, Was that does Disney World really need a fifth park? And when I say this, it's because the guests and the families, they have a limit on a budget, and the biggest currency, let's put it this way, in a Disney park isn't the money itself. I think a lot of the times it's the time. The time. So you play, you try to do as much as possible with the time you have. And when you have five parks, there's just so much to do. With four parks, you already have so much to do that you have to stay at least, I'd say, like 6 days. At least 6 days to try and get everything done. And
But
this is
your
at this
problem is
point.
if Universal start capturing your guests and
Well,
they cut a day off. You know, that second day in the Magic Kingdom gets cut
I think
off to go and spend at Epic Universe, then Disney loses a day and Universal gains a day.
but people don't have infinite, vacation days. They have to play with what they have. So
Oh,
if
I get that, but do you like, I mean, have you been to Magic Kingdom? I mean, when was the last time you were in the Magic Kingdom?
it was last September.
Was it the first 2 weeks
August.
of September or the second 2 weeks of
No, it was
September?
no. It was very late August. Very late
Okay,
August.
but was it the quiet side or the busy side?
It was supposedly the quiet side.
Okay, what was the Magic Kingdom like while whatever nighttime show was on? Because to me, I bet you were crushed up against a fence or up against somebody close to you watching the fireworks, and it wasn't very comfortable.
No, for sure. It's very crowded. I mean, it's the most visited theme park in the world. It
So
was quite
you take that and then say, oh, by the way, Harry Potter's got a really cool fireworks show at this Epic Universe place they've just built, and it's like using the latest groundbreaking technology and drones and all that rubbish. You know, are you gonna do 2 nights at the Magic Kingdom, or are you gonna try and get that Harry Potter show down the road?
Well, yeah, I would go to the Harry Potter, of course.
Well, that's your problem. That's Disney's problem. As long as Universal can offer a more pleasant experience, or can offer an experience on par, which currently they can't. Their fireworks shows are absolutely dreadful at Universal. But if they sorted that out, and certainly Disney have paid off enough Imagineers that you never know, you could be in a situation where Disney are having to fight for that custom again. It's good for us because it means prices overall do come down.
Competition is always nice. So yeah, you
But
do make a nice point there.
I just don't see how Disney don't respond to Epic Universe. Like, someone has brought a big, shiny thing and said, cut some of your Disney time and come and see some of the coolest stuff in the world. And I don't know, like, there are people who go to Disney because they're Disney fans and that's why they're there, but there's an awful lot more. I mean, Universal is doing bumper numbers and record numbers as well. So there's a record number of people choosing to do a day at Universal. So there's
And
no way.
let's remember that Comcast is a huge company, and they have the resources. They have the resources that even Disney doesn't have. Disney is in a big debt right now. So Comcast truly has the numbers they need, and they love the Universal Parks. They want to keep expanding them. So yeah, your point completely stands.
The Magic Kingdom physically cannot, I mean, the Magic Kingdom physically cannot keep taking more guests. They can build more and more, but they're hamstrung. There's a point where it's pointless because you can add 10 new lands, but as long as there's nowhere new to see the fireworks at the end of the night, and as long as the parade follows the same silly little track, that's it. Your theoretical maximum, then I don't think they're far from it. Like, as much as Disney say, oh, we could, expand by 10,000 times. No, they can't. Like, the Magic Kingdom's already at breaking point most of the day. The monorail can barely get people back to the car park. We're in a stage where at one point they were running buses to help when the monorails
Really?
weren't working. But
Imagine being the car park.
yeah,
Wow.
that was back the COVID sort of time.
So you've had monorails, boats, and buses just to get to the car park. That's
Yeah,
crazy.
so once you're at the stage that your monorail, which by the way needs massive refurbishment, needs a whole new monorail car, you've got your daft monorail needs replacement. The boat is wonderful if you're sauntering across in the afternoon and you want to glide across the water and the Florida sun and take in the atmosphere. At the end of the night, nobody can be bothered getting on that daft boat back to the car. Like, nobody. You're in, like, you know, a chicken in a coop that, you know, and there's a couple of
That's
people laying
true.
eggs next to you. So Magic Kingdom can't forever expand. Hollywood Studios, you know, Fantasmic has a seating limit of, you know, 10,000 or something like that.
I think it's
So
10,000 or
yeah.
more.
Yeah, so Fantasmic's got its limit. It runs two shows a night or something just now. It can go up to three, so you could put a third performance in, but they generally don't. They have a fireworks show, it's crowded out. Galaxy's Edge is always crowded out.
Yeah.
So I mean, what do you do? And to me, open the new, you know, you open the new park. I don't know.
Yeah,
It
I think
seems like,
it's a nice argument.
I think that is the main argument for the fifth, is that either you do it or the offering at Universal is going to feel much more comfortable to people and you're going to suffer. So, yeah, I do strongly think there would be a fifth park.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it will. They will eventually build one. It's just quite far away, from where we stand today. It won't happen in the next 10 years.
I'm not convinced. Bob Iger needs a big statement piece to retire on again, and so far we've got no big statement piece. You know, there's
So
WDS.
you think that Iger will announce a new park in the next, I think he has like 1 year and a couple of months to
He has two options. He either unveils four or five lands per park they own in America. Maybe with Epcot will only get the one, or they build a new park. And I certainly know which one sounds more impressive.
Well, yeah, that's yeah, but I don't think they'll announce a new one in the next year. They, you know, their financial situation isn't good right now.
When they bought Marvel, did you think they'd buy Star Wars?
I mean, yeah, but how much did they pay for Star Wars?
Okay, and once they bought Star Wars, did you think they'd buy Fox? Like, they sometimes do crazy things. Like their plays are
But
sometimes.
you can't compare the Lucasfilm acquisition with Fox. Fox cost, I think, $90 billion. Star Wars is
Yeah.
$2 billion.
Yeah,
It's
that. No, but that's true. How much is a new park though? What, 5 billion?
Oh, I think I'm not sure how much is Epic Universe costing.
Yeah, but Epic
I
Universe
think
is,
that's
I mean,
pretty.
Epic. Let's have a quick Google on that
Yeah.
one, because cost to build. I mean, personally, I think the numbers are insane.
1 billion. There's no way it's gonna cost 1 billion. There's absolutely
What
no
did
way.
Shanghai cost?
Shanghai was like 3 or 4 billion.
Yeah, so that's a Disney cost. So, yeah, Shanghai is. You know, it cost 24.5 billion yuan, which is $3.7 billion. So yeah, you're good. I definitely think that, you know, building a new park is within Disney's remit.
Well, yeah, especially with the huge announcement that Iger made with the 15,
Seventeen
$17 billion
billion, yeah.
yeah, they would
So
spend in the next 10 years in Walt Disney World. But I do think that's more of a number to scare off. That's more a political number than anything else, to be honest.
amusingly, it was suggested that that number was 3 billion more than Disney had already kind of committed to by just running the operation. So there you go. There's an extra three. I don't
Yeah.
know. I think if I was Iger, that's what I'd want to end on, building, you know, a
Just
fantastic new park.
going back to the numbers, I think I already said it in the last episode or in the first episode, but the cost of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind was about $500 million. Universal is building an entire theme park for $1 billion. So
Yeah,
where Disney spends in two what Disney spends in two Cosmic Rewinds, a roller coaster in Epcot, Universal does a complete new theme park with four or five lands and a huge hotel. That's
I think,
crazy.
and I think if push, Disney could find themselves to be able to do it a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, they definitely need to cut down costs, Imagineering costs. It's completely crazy.
Yeah. I remember final sort of story from me, because I think we're about to go over an hour, or we're over an hour. Joe Road was talking about how he flew out the whole Imagineering to like the sub-Saharan Africa to go and see the baobab trees and everything before they put them in the Animal Kingdom. That sort of tells you the sort of money they're spending, whereas Universal probably looked at a video.
Well, you've got two ways to do it. You've got cheap, or you've got completely out of this world. So,
Exactly. But
yeah.
the thing is, Harry Potter was a lot cheaper than most Disney rides, and most people think the Harry Potter land is fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, Galaxy's Edge cost 1 billion, or was it 500 million? I think it was 1 billion, yeah. So, yeah, that's completely. The costs, when you compare the two companies, it's just completely out of.
Look at the Jurassic World stuff in Islands Adventure. Like Jurassic, that is a lovely land as well, and it costs nowhere near that. So I think we're going to see a wee bit more penny pinching, I'd imagine. If it gets us more rides, it gets us more attractions, I'm for it. A lot of people will be completely dismayed, but those people ride while Mr. Toad's crappy ride endlessly anyway, so they don't need to worry themselves about this. Anyway, do you have anything else to add before we wrap up the show?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, well then, we will call it there. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the Disney Discord podcast. This has been our third episode. We're hopefully getting a little bit better at them, and we're going to try and do them a little bit more frequently than what we have. And as always, thank you for joining us on the Discord. It's a bye from me.
And a bye from me. Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
Bye bye.